We are going to Israel, and I want you to come with us next September 2024, September 3rd through the 14th. Join myself and the rest of the Empowered Manhood Tribe as we go back to the land where it all started. My new book, Manhood Empowered by the Light of the Gospel, will serve as our curriculum for this journey. And even though we'll be focusing on manhood, we will not be leaving out the spouses in this experience. We understand that this can be a once-in-a-lifetime experience for most couples, and we'll have something special planned for the spouses as well. Make sure you check out the show notes for more details. Also, the Empowered Manhood Men's Weekend 2023 is coming up this September 8th through the 10th. Gain clarity around your identity in Christ. Construct a plan for growth, and then identify opportunities to fulfill your God-given purpose. These are the three main goals of the weekend. We'll spend the weekend together on a beautiful, secluded 40-acre private property in Clymer, PA, nestled in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. This will provide the setting for rejuvenation and inspiration as you gain perspective about your life and what God might be calling you to do. Hurry. Spots are limited to 50, and you can register at my website, empoweredmanhood.com. See the show notes for more details. All right, guys, let's get to it.
We have such a golden opportunity, guys, as parents, as fathers. We have so many opportunities to let our kids know how to succeed by sharing them our failures in business, in raising them. Like, hey, I remember when I did this. Oh my gosh, here's why that backfired. And my boys know all of my failures in business. They know a failure I had almost every day.
The world is changing, and as men, we are often caught between traditional values and the pressure to conform to a society that de-emphasizes masculinity, fatherhood, and brotherhood. It is the mission of our guest today, Scott Ramage, to create a framework where men can be intentional and can create a strong bond that allows them to be openly accessible to one another and their families. Through his podcast, coaching services, and events, he aims to instill greatness and leadership in men's homes, our careers, and our communities. I really hope that last week's interview was meaningful to you as you headed into Father's Day weekend to celebrate that. And by the way, I really hope that you felt celebrated and appreciated this last weekend. So as we jump into the second half of our interview with Scott Ramage, get ready for more encouragement and some amazing practical tips.
And so you're both talking outside of like your operating standard, like emotional intimacy for a lot of men is very difficult. And sexual intimacy, believe it or not, guys, is pretty difficult. But when I get better at social intimacy, it becomes more natural. And then I'm also rewarded with sexual intimacy, which then becomes more natural for my wife. And I'm promising men, you continue this cycle, things get really fun for you both. Because you're both really fulfilling your cups. So again, personal responsibility for like my wife never has sex with me. All right. Okay. Let's go down that road. Tell me how you're filling her cup. What do you mean? Well, I pat her on the butt and I take her out on dates. And I'm like, what are you doing on that date? Are you staring at your phone? Are you staring at the TV on the wall? Are you talking about kids? Are these business dates? Because if they're business dates, you're failing, man. Like, you need to have dream dates. One thing, I'm all over the board, but I love just handing these things out. Guys, you want a big point? When you get to the restaurant with your wife, she wants her phone because she wants to know what's going on with the kids. There's a safety thing. There's a tether there, right? You've already had to probably get work to get her away from the house. But here's what you can do, and this is that 100% thing again. Take your phone out of your pocket, hand it to her, and say, hey, would you put this in your purse? I want to pay attention to you tonight.
Boom. Yeah. So good. Right? So good.
Yes. The other thing is we have such a golden opportunity, guys, as parents, as fathers. We have so many opportunities to let our kids know how to succeed by sharing them our failures in business, in raising them. Like, hey, I remember when I did this. Oh my gosh, here's why that backfired. And my boys know all of my failures in business. They know a failure I had almost every day, because we talk, we have dinner together as a family, another key point, but we talk and they know, like, I had this conversation with them probably like 6 months ago. I'm like, hey guys, like, look, I made some mistakes. I'm going to explain what those mistakes are, but I made some mistakes and right now business is horrible. Hmm. Right now business is so bad, I can't pay us. Hmm. And what that means is that we're going to be living a little slim for a month or two. Hmm. And you know me, I'm going to do everything in my power to get us back to where we are. But here's the mistakes I made that led to this point. This is really hard for a man. And the fact was those mistakes were actually someone else's decisions. They weren't my decisions. Hmm. I had a business partner. Like, so someone else's decisions, but that's still 100% my fault because I decided to go along with those decisions. So I start to like weave for men, my kids, I start to weave this path of no matter what, you have some sort of something involved in that, a decision you made. Even if you get T-boned and you had no fault at all, still something you did led you to that intersection at that moment. And as soon as you embrace the, like, what did I do? How can I fix it? What are the next steps I can take to keep myself out of that situation? The sooner you take blame shifting on everybody else and you bring it on, it's not being hard on yourself. It's just being real. And like, again,
and it's, embracing
the failures and learning.
It's being transparent and vulnerable. What I was going to say, what came to my mind as you were sharing that is that you're processing out loud with your family. Mm-hmm. That takes a level of vulnerability, I think, that a lot of men aren't willing to step into because I don't want my family to see me as a failure, right? I don't want my wife to – I want my wife to respect me and look at me as some, you know, great person, you know, and success, you know, and I want my kids to look up to me. And we're concerned that if we process something like that, like you just described out loud, it's going to reflect negatively on me. But in actuality, it does quite the opposite, doesn't it?
It does. This is I have events, and this is going to probably turn off every guy from wanting to come to an event, but I'm going to tell you the first thing I do at that event is I talk about really kind of the core pillars, and there's a few of them, and I'm going to add another one to this event I have in June, but first of all is authenticity. You just got to be authentic. Second of all is accountability, 100% accountability. And then well, there's multiples, but vulnerability. And this is the one that's not sexy. It's not sexy to say to men, I know the path to being a better husband, a better father, and better for yourself. And that's vulnerability. And it's really unsexy to say that to a guy. It's like, well, I'm not coming to your thing, but I figured out ways to get that out of men. But what happens when men come to an event or in a gathering and one guy becomes vulnerable and the other guy's like, whoa, what? Like, other guys are struggling, and then they share, and then there's compound effect, and then they have, and then the rest of the weekend, like the last day is like, okay, now this doesn't stop here. And now you have to be the buffalo and you have to walk into the storm because you're going back to your life and you can't leave this all here.
Yeah. Now, wait, I'm sorry. I was going to stop you because you need to explain the buffalo illustration real quick for guys. Okay. I think it's amazing. Yeah, go ahead.
So buffalo are the only animal in the world, I believe, that when a storm is coming, specifically like the Rocky Mountains, you'll see the storms coming over. I mean, they're massive, right? Wyoming, Montana, Canada. When they see a storm coming, they will actually turn right into that storm. And they will walk. They won't run. They'll walk because this is a long journey. They'll walk right directly into the storm. Cattle, other animals will actually turn away and run away from the storm. So they get tired because they're trying to outrun a storm, which is impossible. And they get beat down. And then when that storm hits them, they're in it longer because they're running along with it. And this is the natural avoidance technique that Americans, humans use is, oh, my gosh, I have to have this really hard conversation with somebody. I'm just going to ignore them. And it's always just sitting there beating you. It's just beating you. So if you look at buffalo, it's phenomenal. Over the years, they have developed this tenacity. They've developed this rigor, this tough front.
Grit.
Yeah, it allows them to walk in that storm. Yeah. They usually have a leader. Often it's a woman, a female buffalo. So very interesting but they'll break the snow. They'll stay together. They'll push through. We're talking like neck level. We're talking big time storms. but they'll get through. There'll be less death, less injury, and they'll be on the other side and resting soon enough. So the story, and then you look at buffalo, and I have pictures of buffalo everywhere in my house. My family lives, by the way, of the buffalo, but their head is covered in heavy fur. The front of their shoulders are covered in heavy fur. The front of their legs are covered in heavy fur. The rest of them is thin fur, is short fur. Why is that? Because they've created this barrier. They're tough. They can handle that adversity. So when we take this approach in life, hard conversations used to be really hard for me. Now it's like, it's just getting people to slow me down from heading right into that conversation, because I know on the other side of that conversation is either a friendship that's going to show that it's probably not worth continuing, or it's a repair and move, and it builds it and it moves on. So on the other side of that conversation is growth, and it's for you and the other person, because sometimes ending a relationship because of a hard situation is the best thing for both of you. And sometimes it'll help you grow together. So we all need to develop this very strong front as men and go into the storm and look at things in that new way of, like, we need to live the way of the buffalo. We need to stop running. And part of our, I believe, our societal problems right now are people turning away from challenges, from adversity, from, oh my gosh, I have these weird feelings. And instead of just like avoidance, like they're avoiding them. And now we have this mental illness. We have gender
dysphoria.
Dysphoria. Gosh, I tell you what, I have a really good friend, really strong Christian guy. His son has gender dysphoria, and it's been so hard on the family. I mean, it's just, you know, it's so destructive. And so we just, as men, and it goes back to so many sayings, you know, hard men create easy times create, you know, hard times. Soft men create hard times. I mean, it's the same thing. And it's just really time for us to become hard and let our kids become hard. I'm a student of Jordan Peterson. If, you know, he bends my brain so much, I have to take it in doses. But he talks about, even to the point of, like, let your kids play dangerously. God, what is it? Carefully. Basically, let them do dangerous things carefully under your watch. Let them experiment. Let them do things and learn where those boundaries as far as safety goes are. Of course, you are the guy that's going to keep them from being, you know, kidnapped or abducted or whatever. But there's just so many things we're doing, keeping ourselves soft by running away from stuff.
Scott, you've given us a lot of great principles or pillars, as you described, and some great examples. Let's talk to a guy who wants to get started on this path, right? He's been kind of a distant father. He's not been real involved with his kids. He's pretty much dropped the ball in terms of fatherhood, but he wants to change. Can you talk a little bit from your own experience? Because you were at a time where, I mean, you closed your business, you took on a ton of debt, you went into a depression. But that's also the time that you started really embracing fatherhood and trying to be a good dad. So how'd you do it? I mean, it's the best of times, it's the worst of times, right? I mean, it's a really tough time in your life. And yet out of that, you now have a fatherhood ministry and you really become kind of a model for how to do it. So how'd you begin?
You know, I started just spending time with them, which was really difficult. I was bored, you know, watching them play and do the thing. And I talked to a lot of guys and they're like, it's a beating to sit at the park. It's just a beating. And I'm like, yeah, like, do pull-ups, dude. Like, there's some there just, and I wish I would have embraced that. Right. So for me, it was reps at first, but to speed up other guys' progress, it really comes down to several things. Number one, you've got to separate that your identity and your purpose is all around your work or your career. Like, you gotta get to that. You also have to get away from wanting your kids to be your best friends. That's a really big problem. You need to be that person preparing them for adulthood, not their friend. Will they love you and want to spend time with you and adore you? Absolutely. It's still not your friend. It's your child who you are forming into an adult. And adulthood takes reps, and it takes falls, and it takes failure, and it takes personal responsibility. And so what's the first thing you do is do some identity work. And, you know, for Christian men, I had a really great mentor of mine say early in on my podcast, he said, you know, once you realize it's not who you are, it's whose you are, you really start to get a grapple of, you know, your identity. And so my identity isn't dad, because then I would be doing everything to be dad. It's not as a husband. It's not like my identity is so much deeper than that. But my purpose is to live a Christ-driven life that exudes examples onto other people, because I am a servant leader to my wife. I am an example to my boys. So I have a really dear friend, Kurt Storing, who has a large following of men for his work. And let's see, just 2 days ago, a year now, he's been a Christian. It's been a phenomenal thing to watch.
Wow, praise God.
Yeah, because he has a lot of reach. And one of his taglines, which I really like, and I think, guys, you just need to kind of put this in your head, because this is how you become a better father. You need to be easier to love and harder to kill. And so how are you the absolutely best dad in the world? You treat your wife like everything depends on it. Because here's the thing. Your sons are going to treat their wives the way that you treat yours. But this is where it really hits, and I don't have daughters. Your daughters are going to look for a man who treats them the way you treat your wife. And so now's the time to plant that flag in the ground and treat your wife the way you want someone treating your daughter. So the best way to serve your kids is to dial in your marriage, to serve your wife, because she'll serve you back. It's just the way that life works. And, you know, if she doesn't, then you're still providing an incredible, incredible example. So this is all inner work. So the hard to kill thing is, like, get stronger, get faster, get fitter, eat right, get rid of smoking or tobacco, get rid of alcohol. Why? Not because I'm anti-alcohol, but if you look at the studies, there's nothing good it does for you. You're void of joy, actually, when you drink. You're actually void. You are not able to reach joy. And then physiologically, biologically, it has zero positive effects. If you don't believe me, listen to Huberman. It's amazing. It's very sciencey. It's technical, but work on yourself. Work on yourself. Dive right into that 100% and do everything you can. If you want to be the best father in the world, you have to love who you are, love how you're getting there, and love others so hard that there's no other option but to have a great relationship. Your kids look up to you and want to spend time with you. The other thing is intentionality. You really have to be intentional with your time. Like, just shut your phone off. Put it in your wife's purse. Leave it at home when you take your kids to the park. Do those things. Work your butt off. Do the things you have to do to provide, but don't ever mistake providing financially as provision for your family. Let me say that again. Never, ever mistake the money you're bringing into your house as providing for your family, because they will love you. No, your kids won't care if you go broke. It'll affect them a little bit, but that's not going to change their love for you. But you're going to go emotionally broke if that's all you chase. And so it's a working on yourself. Start reading books. And I'm really, really, for the love of all things, read your Bible every single day. Learn to pray. Learn to worship. And make those non-negotiables. But then when you do read things, read them, digest them, eat the meat, spit out the bones, and repeat on that book until you are a master at what you need to get from that book. Stop reading to just read. So when I started my journey, I read this one book and then listened to it probably 15 times. And I attribute that to massive growth, because I needed to hear each piece at each round through in a different way. And then when it grew a little bit, it came out a little different and another level would come on. So I have all this advice, but really start working on yourself. Easier to love, harder to kill. And by harder to kill, I mean just be more fit. Hope that answers your question, yeah. Because there's so many nuances and things in there, but trying to keep it simple and really focus in on that 100% principle again is really important.
I think reps are, like you said early on, I think reps are important. You know, I think quality time is a myth. I think you just spend as much time as you can, you know, the good and the bad, and get to know your kids, because you really can't be a, yeah. can't be a, an effective father if you don't really know your kids at a deep level. And I think that just takes time. That's one thing that I learned was just, I used to budget time, and then I tried to stop doing that and just as much time as I could spend with them. And I think it paid off. I made a ton of mistakes, but that was kind of where I started, was just take the time.
Yeah. I think there's a really important delineation on that though. So I know fathers that won't take their wives out, and they won't take time to, like, say, to go to an event, or because, you know, I might miss a game, and I get it. I really do. And even no matter how young, you can talk to your kids and say, in order to be a better daddy, I'm going to take a couple days and I'm not going to be at your mm-hmm. game, but I'll be at the next one. And then the other thing is like, put your wife in front of right. your kids and make it impossible for her to say no to regular dates. I don't care if your babies are 2 years old and you have to pay someone more than you can afford to watch them that you trust. Right. You don't talk to her about the money. Like, the one thing I finally learned, and my kids are grown, one thing I finally learned was to take money, and I have my own little personal checking account. So when I sell something that I own and whatever, it's kind of like my fun money, right? I'll bank that up mm-hmm. and I'll just keep banking. I'll keep banking. And then I'll tell my wife, kind of this balance between asking and telling, you know, Friday, can you be done by like 3? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, we're going to go away until the next day. She used to worry about the money, but now she knows I'm over here collecting, selling something, doing side job, whatever it is I need to do. And so then I have a hotel. I buy a nice dinner. I tell her, you cannot worry about the money. It's not coming out of the budget. And then I literally will hand her about $400 or $500 cash. Say, we're not going home till this is spent, and it's all on you. And so, this is really hard for her. She has a really hard time buying stuff for herself, and she's had a really hard time taking time away for dates. And then she has a really hard time dipping into budget for date stuff and us time. So what did I do? I figured out a way around it. I'm going to go hustle a bit. I'm going to keep that money hidden. And she doesn't have any clue. I'm not hiding anything from her. She knows about the account, but it's not part of that budget that she's looking at. And so I found that there was this barrier. And guys, with barriers with your wives, get creative and figure it out.
That's great. Yes. Amen.
Yeah. And those have been, I try to do that once a quarter minimum. Those have been some of the most amazing connections, and then kind of reinvigorating everything. And so,
man, what you're talking about, Scott, I mean, it's hard work. It's hard yeah. work. And we've got, how about that? We have to actually put energy and effort and invest in our marriages. Wow. Yeah. What a concept.
It is hard work, but man, the other side of it is a lot of reward. And my boys see us do this, and I talk to them about it. And I'm like, you need to do this with your wife when you are married. You need to get creative and figure things out, because she's going to naturally fight you on getting away from your kids. She's going to naturally fight you from spending money. Some women are just like that. Some love to spend money. Yeah. But you just have to do the work. Figure it out. We kind of stop making excuses as men. Guys are all the time like, "Why my wife won't go on a date?" I'm like, "Well, like, are you arranging the babysitting? Or are you expecting her to?
Are you picking the
place where you're going? Like, maybe give her two choices, but only give her two choices. Are you planning things ahead?" And then you're like, "Well, I can't afford it." I'm like, "Figure it out. You can afford it. You just have to figure it out." And look, I've had an amazing date with my wife. We literally drove, like, 10 minutes away and sat in a parking lot at a church, and it was on a Sunday or Wednesday or anything, so there's no one there, opened the sunroof and looked at the stars and talked like we were in high school when we'd sit in the car. Like, you've got to start treating your wife the same way you treated her when you were dating her. Would your phone get in the way? No way, because that was going to mess up that progression you were going to have with your wife. So start dating her like you're trying to marry her again.
Yeah.
Amen. Because the stakes are higher at this point.
Yeah. And I found, too, that as dads, if we would – as dads, in a sense, it's almost easier than it is with our wives, because I believe that God has given us this superpower, this super influence that we don't realize we have as dads. I think Satan has deceived us and caused us to feel inadequate. But, I mean, the smallest things that you do for your kids can have exponential – results because of the influence that's God ordained in a man that he has over his children. And so again, I think sometimes we think too much into it. We our expectations for ourselves are too high. Man, start somewhere. Just do it and it will pay dividends.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
When you're with your kids, be with your kids.
Right.
Enjoy it. Learn to enjoy things. Something my dad did, which I think was super amazing. I was a really talented skateboarder. This is in the late 80s, early 90s. Very talented skateboarder.
Scott, that's not a surprise, by the way. I know people can't see you, but you look like a skateboarder to me. You fit the mold.
Even at 49, yeah.
yeah, right.
Well, it was just, I think, a year ago that I was skating a half pipe with my boys in a skate park. So, but, you know, that's a real rebellious type running. I mean, and that was... It's a different crowd, and a lot of time there's an incredible amount of talent there, but it's more typically a more ADD type crowd, like just doesn't fit the mold. And my dad didn't know anything about skateboarding, and I think was quite frankly, you know, he's concerned about the kids I was hanging with, as he should have been. And so instead of like being against skateboarding, he tried that a bit and it didn't work out. Instead of being against it, he looked at me and he's like, I think I was 14. He's like, we're gonna build a half pipe in our backyard. It's like, really? He's like, yep, we're gonna build a half pipe. Took us a year. He had an excavator came in, flattened the back part of our property, and him and I spent a year building a very nice half pipe. And guess what? All those people were now coming to my house, and he had a view into what was going on. And then all of a sudden, my friends wanted to. Even after the half pipe, my place was the place to come. A strong Christian household with strong Christian morals was the place for all these kids to come. And now I see it. This was a safe place with consistency, and they knew it was going to be like there, and they could come there. How brilliant is that as a dad? So often we're like, hey, I love baseball. I want to be a baseball all day. I'm going to get my kid into baseball and I'm going to be involved in baseball. I was a baseball star. My kid's going to be a baseball star. And I'm like, excuse me, there is a chance that they will love doing that and they're going to be very good and they want to do it on their own. Awesome. Like, you just hit the jackpot. But when they're interested in something, you don't have to go and do it, but be interested, be authentically interested. Like, follow them, ask them questions, talk, speak their speech, ask them about the newest wheels they got on their board. If you fight it, you're going to be pushing away. And so for me, I was modeled that, and, you know, I exposed my kids to things, but now my wife and I both work out every single day. We have a gym right here. Both of my boys work out every single day, not because we begged them to, but because we showed them that we enjoy it. And so that's something you can do. Show them you can enjoy it. Be consistent. Show them that the results happen. And then they will want to come into that world eventually, maybe. But it's a pure joy to me. My son works out with me often, my 15-year-old. And both of my boys are ridiculously strong. And it's really cool.
That's so cool, man. I would be so proud. That's like, oh my goodness, that would be such a dream. I'm looking forward to the day that my son and I, some point, we'll get to work out together in the gym. We're not there yet, but he's starting to do pull-ups with the pull-up bar, and we'll do some of that, you know, together. But well,
there's so many lessons in that. Like, you know, my boys are like, Dad, how many strict pull-ups can you do? I'm like, let's see. And I might get like 22. Like, how in the world do you get to 22?
Pretty darn good.
And I'm like, consistency. Hmm. Nothing comes without consistent work. And so they both started doing pull-ups. And it was like literally from the beginning, it was like just pushing, like jumping up and then letting go. So I taught him, you know, the progression. And then before I knew it, one. And then my son, I'm like, he's like, hey, I want to get from like 2 to 5. And so I was able to say, okay, now's when you turn it up. And this is just an analogy for everything in life. I'm like, now, okay, this is the summer. So it's like every day, every time you think about it, go into the gym and do max pull-ups. He's like, well, it's one. I'm like, okay. Every time you go, like at least once an hour, go in there. It's called greasing the groove in the workout world. And so he goes in. I said, do it like for 2 or 3 days. Goes in, pull up, goes in, pull up, goes in, pull up, goes in, pull up. And he's like, okay. And we do a max set the next week. He's like, 3. You went to 3. And then now every time he goes into the gym or we leave the house, so he's driving now, but every time he leaves the house, he goes into the gym, does a pull up, and then gets in the car. And so now I don't know how many strict pull ups he can do, but now we're on to strict dips. And we have a tally on the wall, whiteboard. And so like I hit 18 strict dips, and then my oldest hit like 19, and then my youngest hit 16. And then every time they bring it up, now we're up, I am at 28 and they're at 26. And it's like, so what happens now is we're enjoying this and we're all getting stronger in the process. But what they're learning is that it's not overnight success. It's daily reps. That's in relationship. That's in fitness. That's in nutrition. That's in work. They know that my business now is really rising. It's achieving great success. They've seen me put in a lot of reps. And so that's something you as a parent is you can learn, embrace the things they like to do, but model the things that they should be doing and that you should be doing. And then things will come together. It's pretty amazing.
All right, Scott, man, this has been awesome. I can't believe we're already over an hour. This is crazy. I feel like we could go on forever. Keep going.
I'm having fun. Sorry.
Yeah, seriously, this is great. This has been great. Well, so tell guys how they can connect to Brotherhood of Fatherhood. And I absolutely love that name, by the way. I know a buddy of yours, I think, came up with it. But yep. Man, it is a brotherhood. That's exactly right. And but yeah, tell folks how can they, you've got a podcast. I think you've got maybe a YouTube channel. But where can folks find you online, connect with you?
Yeah, I mean, if you're on Facebook, due to my generation, that's my circle. So, Facebook, Scott at Scott Ramage. I have a Brotherhood of Fatherhood Facebook group. You're gonna get just as much just follow me. Same with Instagram, and then the podcast is the Brotherhood of Fatherhood podcast, and we're rounding out, I don't know, 170 episodes. Been going for 3 years, and it's been very secular up until about a year ago. And then I'm like, forget this, you know, we're going all in. And, everyone's known where I've stood the whole time, but now that's a lot of the conversation. And then the podcast is growing because of that, which is really a blessing. So, those are the places. And yeah,
that's great. Well, man, thank you so much for being with us today. I'd love to pray for you and your ministry, your family before we jump off. So let's pray. Awesome. God, thank you so much for Scott. Man, praise you. I just praise you, God, for your faithfulness to him, the ways that you have taken him through some hard times, but sustained him through it, Father, and strengthened him, Lord, and guided him every step by your Spirit. God, thank you for his family, his kids, Lord, the ways that you have blessed him, humbled him, maybe even broken him, God. For your sake, for your kingdom's sake, and his influence in his family and for so many other men that he's influencing right now, God, I pray now that you would continue to humble him, draw him close to you, Lord, and help to expand his capacity for your grace so that, Father, he would be more and more dependent on you as you provide for him. So, Lord, thank you for this time together, and we lift him up to you, his family, his ministry, God, and trust him into your hands, knowing that you are the one who is all sufficient. You are the one who is good and faithful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, gentlemen. Absolute blessing.